Rob, nice to meet you.
Jeff, pleasure.
Rob Centron, how are you? First and foremost, thank you for taking the time to meet with us. I know you didn't have to.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. I know you're a little reluctant at first.
Yeah, right, absolutely.
We get it completely. So, first and foremost, we are detectives with the Bronx Homicide Squad.
Okay.
Okay. But what I can tell you is we're not here to put you back in the courtroom or anything like that. I just want to be clear about that.
You know, after all these years and all this misery, yeah, sure.
But I'm hoping that you can hear me out and possibly help us with one particular case. But before we get into that, I want to make something completely clear. I've been in homicide for 10 years. These guys have been in there for similar times. Mm-hmm. Collectively, we have over 100 years in law enforcement. Mm-hmm. There's one thing that we know, okay, is that people can be redeemed. Mm-hmm. There is redemption, especially when you're operating within the pillars of Jesus Christ in the Bible. Okay. We don't take that lightly, and we know that possibly the day then is not sitting in front of us. We're all comfortable with that. We have sat in front of evil. We've experienced it firsthand. And the person I'm sitting in front of today is not someone who we consider evil. I want to be clear about that.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah. Thank now, you. I think it's important to say, because I've done a lot of research about you, and I've watched some videos.
Okay.
And I know the person you've become, what you mean to the people here.
Okay.
And
well, thank you.
Yeah. So I want to be clear about that. There's also something that you and I actually have in common. You were in the military.
Yes.
What was your MOS?
I started out as infantry, and then I went, when I got back to the States, the place they sent me to didn't have an infantry unit, it had been disbanded, so I ended up being a clerk type as a basic training unit.
Where did you go to boot camp?
No.
I went to, but right out of boot, you went to Korea?
No, I went to Louisiana, my infantry training. And then from there, got a little leave time, and then went to South Korea.
So I was in South Korea too, out of boot camp. Where were you in South Korea?
I was in right by near the dean, not too far.
So you know all about Tongdachan and all that area?
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
Yeah, so
I was just a teenager back then, but you know, it was
same thing. Joined the army straight out of high school.
Yeah, me too.
Went to boot camp. First duty assignment. I came back to the States, and then my last duty assignment was back in Korea. Down by
Osu. Yeah, I heard of Camp Humphrey.
Yeah, that's like the main hub now. They shut down, and it's now a company.
When we were north of that, it was our biggest port.
I've been to Canada, and next to it, right there on the border.
Yeah, well, we were way up north, pretty much.
When we went to the field, we would go up to Canada and go up there to Canada and all those little outposts there. Mm-hmm. But I just thought that was interesting that you and I had that same path in the mm-hmm. beginning.
Okay.
When you got out of the Army, did you move to Barnes Avenue?
Well, I went back to Co-op City originally.
Co-op.
Because that's where my dad lived. So I went to rejoin my dad. That was where I had an apartment. We had an apartment in Co-op City until he retired and got married and moved to Florida. And then I moved to Barnes Avenue.
Did you move to Barnes Avenue in 1976?
It would maybe be about that year, around there.
Mm-hmm. 76.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you left Barnes, did you then move to Yonkers, the Post Avenue address?
Originally to New Rochelle.
New Rochelle.
And I was there for a short while. And
was that Coligny, New
yes,
Rochelle?
Yes, Coligny Avenue. And then I went from there to Yonkers.
Okay. All right. So the reason we're here, right? I mean, that's obviously, I wanted to get to know you a little bit, right? But and discuss the parallels of our lives. But the reason we're here, it sort of centers around a woman. She's 87 years old, and she reached out to us.
Mm-hmm.
And when she reached out to me, very sweet older lady, still full of, you know,
right.
vinegar, piss and vinegar, very, very much with it.
Mm-hmm.
and she discussed with us an incident that occurred to her. Now, I don't know if you know about the statute of limitations, but you know what that is?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, so obviously with murder, there is no statute. You can charge someone 100 years later. When it comes to assaults, the statute of limitations is very limited. Back in the 70s, it was actually 1 year, which seems ridiculous, but as it stands now, it's 5 years.
Okay.
So right around the time that you left the Caligny address, after you left Caligny, you didn't move into Yonkers until the 15th. You left Caligny on the 8th.
Yeah, I wouldn't even remember those
You
things.
Wouldn't?
It was just a blur. That was
Do you remember why you left Caligny?
People who owned, I rented a room there.
From Nan?
Yes, yeah, from, I've forgotten the name of it now you mentioned. And they were, they really weren't good landlords. They said, I worked the night shift in security, as a security guard, as I need to sleep during the day. And so I said, well, you have dorms in the back there, you know, they're not gonna keep me up. And he said, oh no, they're always locked in. But then he let them out, so I couldn't get any sleep. I was really coming apart. I used to end up sleeping in my car in Orchard Beach and everything because I couldn't get any sleep. And having sleep through most of the morning. And so I moved out, I just left there. And
you just left abruptly, right?
Right, yeah.
You don't remember, when you first left Caligny, you don't remember where you stayed for that week or 10 days? Was it, did you stay at a hotel somewhere, or your car?
It would probably be in my car. You know, I moved over gradually, I took stuff over gradually and just left them, you know. So it may have been a week and a half to finally move.
Okay. So right around the time that you left Caligny, there was a restaurant on, that was at the corner of
Forsyth Road, Falk Avenue. Yeah. I know what you're here for. I have a friend, retired, you know, high school principal in New York City. He sees this guy, something or other, that has a video thing, and he said that they were trying to connect me to this crime that happened. A woman was shot and wounded on Boston Road, just off Falk Avenue. I just got the email.
What's this person's name?
Yeah.
What's his last name?
He lives in Harold. Right. His father's a retired NYPD officer, and his brother's a retired NYPD sergeant.
Okay, so I'll tell you who contacted us, and it was yeah. I thought it was the first.
Maybe the second. I think yeah.
This is who contacted us.
Yeah. And this is the lady that said she was injured?
This is the lady that says that, well, she was shot. This is what she looked like back then.
Yes. But I first of all, I was not involved. I never knew this until about 2 weeks ago when this fellow does these podcasts. He's very hostile to the person. He does these podcasts. I've never seen them, of course. I don't know this guy. He somehow interviewed this lady, and my friend watches that his podcast, Keep Me Abreast of Things, was that guy successful with me. He mentioned that this lady had said that she was shot by me, which is absolutely absurd.
Yeah. Well, I mean, from the perspective of law enforcement, and I appreciate your take on this, from the perspective of law enforcement, there's some elements to that I would like to bounce off you, and you tell me what you think.
Yeah.
Her name is.
Okay.
Was sitting in her car outside of that restaurant, and a male walks up to her and shoots 5 times. Now, the day before she's shot is the day that you leave the Caligny address, and of course your landlady says that you were extremely angry about barking dogs. And that you
yeah, because they would because they were dishonest and said, oh, if we keep them in the garage, you'll be able to sleep during the day. It was just the opposite.
Yeah.
So I was pissed off at that.
Having worked midnights in the police department, I know exactly what you're saying. You hear every lawnmower, every weed whacker, you hear everything.
Yeah.
So I can sympathize with and empathize with you in regard to that. But what my point is in a lot of your writings, and I know that back then is not now, I know that there were some emotional and psychological issues going on that you sorted through, right? But back then, oftentimes, sort of a trigger for you was a reaction to barking dogs. I know they overplayed the thing. A lot of that's garbage. But there are writings which we know are related to you that you wrote where you sort of had a reaction to barking dogs, and then within a day or two, there was some sort of hostile act that was you acting out that aggression. Now, the day after you not flee, but storm out of Coligny, this young lady is unfortunately shot. Now, at the time, she draws a sketch. And just to give you perspective, so this is a sketch he draws, and obviously that is your mugshot, and it doesn't take a seasoned detective to see similarities, right? So,
remember, this sketch is done prior to anyone.
Nobody knew who you were.
Right.
So I did sort of a comparative analysis to the different writings, and I hope it's okay that I show you this, because I certainly don't want to bring you back, and you've been more than kind in hearing us out, right? So, you can see here, she rented a room in New Rochelle for $50 a week until April 8th. On April 9th, Ms. was shot. Okay?
Yes.
So on April 27th, there was the dog barking, and then Harvey the dog is shot the same day. And there's writings about that. All right. Then there's the writings about, you wrote this many years, I'm sure you don't remember, but December 22nd, 2 days later, Rocket the dog is unfortunately shot. And I think there's one more. Sure, right here. This is, you're writing about dogs barking and it being bothered you, and then the same exact day, occurs. So from the perspective of law enforcement, sort of paying attention to patterns and things that marry up, it does see that when Ben, in his sort of emotional state, would sometimes act out when triggered by dogs barking, it stands to reason that when we look at this sketch and we listen to this lady talk, that maybe these things could be connected. Now, I know you're saying you didn't, and obviously this guy, whatever he is saying what he's saying.
Yeah, you need to check in on that, because that was the first I heard about it, when this aired some kind of, he does these podcasts about the case, and he's been doing that for a while.
You don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, I know, but I don't know him either. He just popped out of nowhere and became obsessed with the case, and on his own makes these podcasts.
Yeah.
So somehow he had met with this lady or got information about this lady I've known for like 30-something years. He told me about it. He just wants you to be aware of this. This is going on. And I just actually sent him an email back saying, I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Well, very strange.
So in July of 76, after passes away, the detectives in homicide and detectives that had this case start to compare notes, and they're like, these cases are exactly similar, the sketches are exactly the same, and it started to, that's when the first connections made in July of 76. Now, this lady at the time, after she spends a few months in the hospital, she flees to England. And while she's in England, she's contacted by her local police department. She's contacted on behalf of the Bronx District Attorney's Office, and they bring a photo array, which is an array of photos. Your picture was one of them, and this is in October of 77 after you're arrested, and they're like, do you see who shot you? And she said, that's him right there, and she identified you. Now, she stayed in England until 1979, so obviously your cases sort of began to progress without her.
Yeah.
We are, as we sit here today, we are not charging you with the shooting of this lady, but what we're looking for, because she literally sat at her kitchen table right here and says, I pray for him every single day. She's a very religious woman. If there's any chance that you were involved in that particular shooting, because the facts and the pattern demonstrate that it likely was you, from a law enforcement perspective, and we could just say we spoke to you, he feels remorse, and she's ready to move on.
This is the first time I've seen her. The only handgun I owned was the that 44 caliber, the bulldog revolver. I don't know.
You bought that stuff. You bought that in July. No. Yes, July of 76.
Yeah.
Right before. This is in April. This was not a 44.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have no other handguns.
But we didn't mention what caliber was used, so how do we know that it was a different handgun?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because you just said you only used the 44, but I didn't mention the caliber that was used to shoot her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, that would be the only thing. I don't know what caliber that was. I'm saying that was the only gun I had.
Yeah.
So if that's it doesn't match that, then I don't know.
Do you at least from our perspective, understanding why we sort of feel the way we do?
It's very unusual. This is like
this is uncanny, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It's an
for someone to describe this, like my partner said, prior to any incident, is pretty amazing, actually.
Yeah.
You know, that's someone that would be like me and you, like right now. If someone came up to you and they walked into your sketch art and they go, describe that detective. You would do a good job. You would tell them how to, because we're looking at each other, right? So this is all prior to any of your first encounters with law enforcement. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And also, it's the sketch, but also the physical description.
Mm-hmm.
Blue eyes, leather jacket, weigh you about 160 pounds, 5'8", 5'9".
I was actually more than 160. I was like 200-something, 210 back then. But I was arrested.
I mean, but the black leather jacket.
Yeah. Remember that name?
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
Do you remember loading your leather jacket right around that time?
No, I don't.
No.
We got together a few times. He ended up becoming a police officer.
Yes.
We kind of grew up in late teenage years together in Co-op City.
Mm-hmm.
We were also members of Missouri Police, the 45th Precinct.
When he was interviewed, he said that during that time frame that he gave you a leather jacket to borrow and never got it back. Describes the person that approaches her as wearing a leather jacket very similar to the one that let you borrow.
I don't remember giving me a leather jacket. I honestly don't.
I wasn't even born, but that's what he said.
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously we've sort of developed like an investigator opinion here, right?
Right.
And I understand. It's probably very difficult to have to digest this information, especially sitting in the position you are. I know what happened yesterday, and I know it's probably not easy to deal with that. What I would say to you, as someone who's sort of enveloped yourself in the Lord, right? And we are people that believe in redemption. If there's any chance that maybe you even don't remember this time frame because you weren't in the right state of mind, because the fact that you had sort of a mental break the day prior, and then the next day she shot, and we can sort of do a comparative analysis to the fact there was other times when you reacted to dogs and it resulted in either dogs or people getting shot. What I'm saying is, if you're purposely not telling us or you don't remember, that could be one thing. But if there's some reason why you don't want to talk to us about it, we're not, like I said, you have my word as a gentleman and also as a man who attends church every Sunday, that this is something this is nothing you're going to be charged with. The only thing we're trying to do is to make this woman whole. That's it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I understand that, and I agree with that. So that's a good goal. That's your goal. That's your profession. But at the same time, I don't know this woman. It was just this past week that I heard about it. Now, do you know what day that was? That was what?
So it was the day after you left Coligny. So it was April 9th of 76. You had not yet moved to Post.
Yeah.
You were between residences. It was very close to where you used to live on Barnes, less than a mile from where you lived on Barnes. And, you know.
Well, but I would suggest that I'm trying to think of where I was working. Because I was working as a security guard.
On White Plains Road?
On White Plains Road. But I was assigned to a place in Manhattan, truck yards in Manhattan, even though it was had their office in White Plains Road in the Bronx. I wouldn't know where to see if you have to look up employment records to see if I was working that day, if they even have that stuff available. I don't remember when I started working in the post office. I worked there almost a year.
On 149?
Yeah, at 149th Street. Mm-hmm. So that's all I could suggest is if you look at those dates to see if maybe I was working on those particular days or something.
Yeah.
I can't think what I was doing in April.
I can't remember what I was doing last week.
No, seriously, I mean, if I did it, I would have confessed, but I didn't. This is the first I heard. It was just this past week from an email from a friend who watched that on TV and so forth. So
that's unfortunate that you know, I mean, we are only working with this young lady. I mean,
yeah. Well, now he was just watching that. He watches these podcasts.
Uh-huh. So
he's got a whole bunch of podcasts. A lot of it on cases. This guy, whom again I never met or don't know much about. He's kind of devoted his free time to doing podcasts about the case,
mm-hmm.
you know, the Meyer Park and this and that. So he was the one who broadcast something on this, and so watching it told me, and I don't know what to say. I'm trying to think how I can show that I was working at the time.
That would be difficult. Do you have any sort of recollection of where you were staying between Coligny and Post? I mean, we have the 9th to the, we have the 8th to the 15th. We have a solid week
mm-hmm.
where you don't have an actual residence.
Hmm. I think I was, I can't really say where I would have been. I would have either been, you know, I was staying in Coligny Avenue even though I began to move things to Pine Street in Yonkers.
Pine, that's right, I keep saying Pine.
Pine Street in Yonkers. And so I don't know when officially I moved in there.
Did you ever, were you from that restaurant, Nina's, was that a pretty popular restaurant?
I don't even know about it. The only reason I don't even know the name is just my friend mentioned the corner of Boston Road and Bauk, and he said there was a program on where he's trying to connect you with his shooting. And I said, well, that's ridiculous. I don't know who this person is. It was just this past week. I just got the email on my tablet,
mm-hmm.
you know, so I don't know.
But I mean, it's pointless to ask you if you're familiar with that area because you literally live
less
than a mile.
Yeah, I know the general area. I don't know that restaurant. I don't think I ever patronized any of the stores along that part of Boston Road.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, when I lived in Co-op City and it was always in the Bronx, I passed out that intersection many times. It's a busy intersection.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. But you, just independently of that, you don't recall where you were staying during that week?
No, I would have to think that I was probably staying in Pine Street and then also moving my stuff back or staying there. I don't know. I think I had left without telling the casinos that I was leaving, and eventually they found out that I was gone. I left $50 for that week's rent and disappeared because I was tired of that place and wanted to get out of there.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what dates those were. Yeah.
Okay. Let me ask you like this. Do you think that there is, because for us, it would be short-sighted to think that you were charged with every single thing that you were involved in, right?
Mm-hmm.
Is there any possibility in your mind that because of your altered mental state that you could have been involved in this and blocked it out?
I don't believe so. No, I don't believe so. Yeah, this is the first, just the other day is the first I heard of this incident.
If you were on the jury and we were, let's say it's 1977, right, we're within the year, and we have a jury and we have a woman who's making the ID and we have the pattern with your reactions, your emotional reactions to the dog barking, and she draws this sketch, what would you say about?
Well, there's a similarity, but back then it would have been they probably would have still had my employment records in some places. We could just verify that date. Maybe I was working that day.
What tour? What shift did you usually work when you were a security guard?
The night shift. I would come in, I think around 5 to 6 o'clock, and work. I worked to the morning, to sunrise. Yeah.
Do you remember what days you were off?
No, I don't remember the days. I don't remember the days.
Do you typically work Monday through Friday?
Yeah, and weekends. I know I work weekends too, but I don't remember specific days off. I worked for maybe a year and a half altogether, and I worked in two different truck yards in Manhattan. I don't think they're even there anymore.
Yeah.
And what years were you doing the security?
Well, after I got out of the Army, I started to work for the security. I put an application for a job because I just got out of the Army. They hired me, so I was like night shift, you know, what a minimum wage job.
What year was that?
Would be 70...
You got out of the Army in 74?
Yeah, 74. So it would be 74. It's around 74, 75.
You were there a year and a half, you said?
Approximately, the best of my recollection, yeah.
Okay. Well, I mean, this occurs in mid-76. Mm-hmm. Do you remember what you were doing for work in mid-76? When did you start the post office?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Because when you're arrested in August, you are working for the post office.
Yeah, right.
Did you spend more than a year at the post office?
No, not exactly a whole year. I wish... had access to those records just to see if there was, I was at work.
Well, I mean, it's a lot of times just talking through this, because the timeline would be helpful. If you are arrested in August 77, mm-hmm. did you start the previous summer at the post office? Did you start the same year? Federal employment records would be easy to run down.
Yeah, I would appreciate it if you could do that, yeah. To check, because I can't remember those dates when I started, you know, and there was a time I was, for a brief time I was working for the Co-op City Camp Service for I think maybe a month or so, and I was living in Pine Street at the time when I was there, but doing that, and then I went to the post office.
How long did you live at Pine for?
I think a little over a year. I think so.
So yeah. Did you start the cab service when you first got to Pine, or a little after?
I think a little after. Then the job opened for the post office.
And I took that,
yeah. Mm-hmm.
So how long in between work from security to the cab driver was there a gap?
No, it was, everything was just straight through. Okay. Everything was just straight through.
There's no gaps?
Not that I remember. I mean, when I first got out of the Army, I filed for unemployment for a while. I signed up for Bronx Community College under the GI Bill, and then I began to work for them. But I don't remember what year I started. That's when they had their office in White Plains Road. You know if it's there anymore?
Yeah, it's still there.
Oh, okay.
So let me ask this a different way, right? If you weren't working security, and you weren't actively working security, and you were at one of these other jobs, perhaps a cab driver, perhaps you started the post office, which we know has normal business hours, and you were on that jury, and you had a very similar MO, you had very obvious pattern behaviors, you had this sketch, and you had a six-pack photo ID, if you're the juror, what do you think?
Well, yeah, well, more than likely, yeah, it would look like it would be, you know. I can't deny that, but I don't know about this case.
What if, because you did mention at first about the ballistics in regards to this case.
Right.
What if the detective said it was a .44? What does that change to you?
Well, that would be amazing. I don't know what caliber, because that wasn't my handgun. That wasn't in my possession. If this woman was shot with that... whatever caliber that was, I mean, that's,
Yeah, I mean, listen, the detective in me is paying attention to the fact that when I asked you about it, you said, well, I only ever used the .44 because we never mentioned that she was shot with anything else. But when you were arrested and they did the search warrant in your apartment, mm-hmm. they did find various guns of various calibers.
Right, but I mean, as far as the handguns, right.
So let me ask you about one other thing.
Yeah.
So there was a time frame when you spoke to investigators and you said that there was one uncharged shooting with a woman that crawled away. She was an older woman that crawled away.
I said that?
Yes. Mm-hmm. So this woman, mm-hmm. the majority of the people that, you know, mm-hmm. fell victim were in their late teens, early 20s. This woman was almost 40 years old.
Right.
And when she was shot, she crawled from her car into the restaurant. So obviously, again, from our perspective, We don't have a lot of women, even in 1976, who were shot and crawl up the street. You made mention to this, it's actually covered in an article here. They were never able to figure out what that case was because you said you thought that it was in Yonkers. Obviously, our belief is that it was probably this case. Do you ever remember discussing with investigators back then that there was a woman who crawled away?
I don't.
So is it safe to possibly assume that this is the woman that crawled away and you're blocking it out? Because back then, you, obviously we know you were in a different state of mind then, you back then described to investigators that one singular woman that was in charge crawled away.
I don't recall that. Okay,
let me just show you one thing. Sure. It's kind of, so no evidence yet to back the suspect claim of shooting. Police have yet to find any evidence to confirm claim that he shot an elderly woman in Yonkers, Westchester County. DA Carl Vergari and Yonkers Assistant Police Chief Henry Stamper said they found no open cases of that nature for 3 years. But Vergari said he is checking adjacent communities to include Mount Vernon and the Bronx. 24 of Yonkers pled innocent Tuesday in Brooklyn murder of Moskowitz, blah, blah, blah. So this is a legitimate article. They, obviously, the district attorney and the chief of police for Yonkers were spending a lot of time and man hours trying to run down what you told them. And you told them that there was one particular woman that wasn't charged that crawled away. This woman crawled away.
I don't remember that.
Do you think it's possible that this is that case and you just don't remember being involved in it?
I would remember something like that.
But you don't remember telling them that there was one singular woman that crawled away?
No, that there was nothing that I could recall that would anything like that happened.
Okay. I mean, you understand our perspective.
No, right? I understand.
You're a very astute and articulate gentleman.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out how I would direct you with that. Other than look for employment records.
Yeah, I got that.
I don't know.
But what if those employment records don't show that you're working? I understand where you're coming from by saying if I'm working, I'm not there.
Yeah.
There, but through our perspective, that's where we're going. If
I mean, just
potentially any of those jobs, probably besides the moving company, if you're in Manhattan, you have the ability to kind of leave what you're doing at the time to commit any act you're committing.
Well, leaving Manhattan, you mean?
Or anywhere you are, right?
Yeah, well, I worked the night shift in all the night jobs, so like past midnight hours. I would get off early in the morning.
Mm-hmm. But I think those security jobs were attributed more to your time right after the Army, right?
Right.
We're well into 76 at this point.
Yeah.
I think you're working a cab because you didn't you see cab driver during that time frame, and you and your altered state kind of started to follow along with some of the aspects of cab driver?
Right.
Right.
And the cab driver job was in the daytime in Co-op City. That was the daylight hours.
Okay.
From morning, I think around 7 to maybe 4 or 5 in the afternoon. It was like 10-hour shifts or something with the Co-op City cab. It was a cab, not a yellow cab, it was those cabs on call.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was a daytime job.
I guess my biggest struggle here is the fact that you don't remember discussing with investigators about the singular woman who's crawled away, because Yonkers went through their entire 3-year history all the way back till you got out of the military and tried to figure this case out. I don't think they came into the Bronx. Here we have a person who gets shot in a similar fashion the day after you have a negative emotional reaction to the dogs barking on Coligny, who draws a sketch that's identical to you, who identifies you in a photo array 3 months later, 2 miles away, and shot in their cars. It doesn't take a detective of 20 years to sort of put this together and say, this is the version of him back then in his altered state. It's a struggle for me, and I don't mean to say that in an offensive way.
I'm just trying to help you out. How would I be able to show that I was not involved with that in any way?
Well, if you don't remember that you said there was a woman that crawled away, if during that time frame we found a woman that crawled away, is it a possibility that you can't remember this?
I don't see how I could would forget something like that.
But my question would be, if you remember such minute details of that time frame, You should also remember when you spoke to investigators that you told them there was one other case of a woman that crawled away.
I'm trying to think where investigators those were.
Well, probably from Yonkers.
Right, Yonkers.
Because it was investigated.
Correct.
I don't recall ever talking to any officers from detectives from Yonkers.
So,
but when I was arrested, everything was in New York City. I don't recall ever any being
posted. So that information was relayed to them somehow. We can't say, obviously we weren't around back then. We can't say that Yonkers actually pulled that information from you. But during the course of your interrogations or your writings or whatever, they got the information to start looking for this one uncharged person that. Mm-hmm. That crawled away. I mean, this is an article from back then. Let's see what else it says here. All right, regarding Saburka's statements about a Yonkers shooting, very bare bones, no details. Employees, authorities, she crawled away. She didn't die. She was hurt. He didn't remember the date. Regardi said two unsolved cases in Yonkers appeared to be sniper attacks, 125 and 140, and were shot earlier in the year with a 22 caliber slug. 25-year-old was walking away. Nobody crawled away. Described. So it would seem that they received this information either through official channels or you, and that you were sort of vague because you didn't remember specific details. So it stands to reason from an objective perspective that if back then you're giving these, I'm not sure the date, I'm not sure the exact location, possibly Yonkers, but I know that this woman was older and crawled away. But we know all of your victims were in the same age range. And this woman was much older. She appeared to be older. She was 40 years old. Again, all the other aspects of this.
How you could, like, did you talk to those? The detective's probably long gone. Yeah,
unfortunately.
They're alive. Yeah. Wow. Crazy. I don't know what to tell you. I'm not trying to hide anything.
No,
I don't.
You're being, listen, if anything, maybe you don't remember, but I think there's a good possibility that you were involved in this. Your position is absolutely not. Is that correct?
Yeah, right. I would like to do what I can to just clear that. That's why I was saying, can you check employment records on the time of that shooting, whatever that was, and where I might have been working, I was a sheet metal apprentice for a while too. I went to different jobs, but there's no way I can account for that.
So the timeline that we have about your employment only has you working the security jobs right out of the Army. All the other jobs you had, to include taxi drivers, would have had you around at 11 p.m. when this occurs.
Yeah, but at night also I was with I worked the late shift in the post office. I would come in, I think around 4 o'clock, and work till after midnight,
12:30. Mm-hmm. So, no, I understand. I mean,
that's any way to.
No, I get what you're saying, and I do. What I would say though is, if the year was currently 1976 or 77, yeah, and these facts were as they are here, mm-hmm, we would be arresting you for her shooting.
Yeah.
Obviously, we're not doing that because we're well beyond the statute.
Now, what time did what? Day did this come? What year did this?
76.
76.
The day after you, the day after your landlady said that you left the police.
Yeah. Okay, but I can't remember what date that was. But it would have been 76.
It was April 9th of 76.
Yeah, I
11 o'clock.
I can't think of where. Well, I wasn't working at the post office back then.
You were not.
No, I wasn't, because I remember moving to Pine Street, and I guess I was still working as a security guard or as a cab driver, and my dad had gotten a letter from the post office saying he wanted to hire me, so I had originally put in an application, and it came out of the blue, so I said, well, this is something I would want to do, and so I took the postal service test, and they eventually hired me, was training me at the time. So that would have been after Caligny Avenue.
Yeah.
When I was in Caligny, I didn't work in the post office. So I'm just trying to give you a time frame, so maybe.
And at that point, your dad was living still in Co-op City? Or was he on Barnes?
No, they left Florida.
No, he left the Florida. He never, yeah. That was my apartment that I rented out in Barnes. Okay. He moved to Florida with his wife. Okay. Yeah, that was, I think, in 70, 5 or something, I can't remember. I can't remember.
Do you see the way you explained it though with the very, very, very similar detail by...
This is really shocking.
She even describes the calmness as she believes it's you approaching her. That she was believing that it was actually someone maybe approaching for directions. She wasn't fearful at first. Then the mention of the leather jacket, she would never know that you got it from your friend.
Yeah, I don't remember me a leather jacket. I don't see on what occasion I would even get a leather jacket.
I have an audio interview of it where that's what he says.
Yeah.
And it's just a very simple, it's a spot on fact what she's telling us.
I mean,
this
could be the most unfortunate set of aligning circumstances which point to your guilt, but you're saying it's not you. You know, listen, at the end of the day, we have a case that paints a picture.
Yeah, I understand.
Your statement to us, we respect what you're saying. Our opinion, based on evidence, is investigative. Mm-hmm. There's only one of us that was born in that time frame.
I'm the old man.
The rest of us were born in the late 70s. But
yeah.
Having done this and sort of experiencing these situations where you have this sort of successive set of circumstances which line up, which paint a picture. They don't usually align like they do like this. Usually,
yeah, I have.
Now I understand what you're saying as far as your alibi, and if this was 1977, we'd be right at your business and say, let's see the time card, and if you were working that day, well then, good
to
go.
Yeah, I know, that's why I wish they could somehow
The problem was is there was nothing similar during that time frame. There was no sort of random violence that was occurring in the Bronx to, you know, whites, ladies sitting in brand new Jaguars. So this stood out, and even in the beginning, there was connections made to that first case in July. So from like the law enforcement perspective, it does paint a picture for us of one of culpability.
Yeah.
But we respect your position. We respect what you're saying. And we're probably going to close this case as is. I think there's nothing to do. The only reason we're here is to give her a sense of closure.
I would like to go to just get it cleared up as best as possible as far as I'm concerned, because as you say, this is like this overwhelming stuff. This is like so bizarre. And I wish there was some way I could just show that.
I've done this in the past where I've brought polygraphs into facilities. Would you be willing to take a polygraph in regard to this case?
Yes.
Oh yeah?
Yes.
You might be able to put that together.
Okay.
But you're adamant.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. I have no knowledge of that. I swear, I heard about it this past week when this guy showed this podcast and he covered that case, I guess, to this lady. But I don't know this at all. He's just a crime buff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And my friend watches that podcast and alerted me. I can give you information if you want to contact him. I don't, you know.
No, well, I mean, we're going to look at the podcast and see what he says.
Yeah, okay.
Maybe that's what motivated her to reach out. I don't know.
I don't know who approached her or anything. I just don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I would like to take a polygraph test.
Sure.
I think that would be helpful, and I'd be willing to do that.
So no recollection, because like what he said about the lady crawling away, where this incident happened, there's only one way in and one way out, and you would have to walk by the person to get out after it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't remember at all saying that to the investigator.
No.
I would
really like to do that.
I don't know
how that stuff works, but I mean,
I've done it. If you don't, if let's say there's this additional case where a woman crawled away that was shot and did not die.
Hmm.
Obviously, whatever you told them back then, you had the knowledge that through whatever means, the papers or the news, that she didn't die. If you actually said that to an investigator back then, do you think that this could be that case, or do you think it would be another case? Or
I can't think of any case where a woman just crawled away. I don't know what I was thinking at the time. I don't, if I said that, I don't recall even saying that.
Yeah.
I don't know what detectives those were or anything, or?
You don't believe that the district attorney and the chief of police of Yonkers would misstate that in the paper, do you?
No, it wouldn't be, it would be maybe a misunderstanding. But you said now the police from Yonkers interviewed me, or?
No. I don't know that that's true. I just know that they are giving this information to the news, mm-hmm. that you mentioned a case that you couldn't remember specific details on, where the woman didn't die.
Oh. Potentially, it could have been the detectives that you said you spoke to in New York, and they just shared that information with Yonkers because of maybe some of the information
them. I don't know. I don't recall that. I'm really sorry. I can't be for the help. I'm trying to.
It would seem like you're putting your best effort into remembering. I mean, obviously, we have an investigative opinion, and those don't line up right now, but that happens. Let me ask you this. Is there any other cases that you think we could close out by talking to you? In the Bronx, Yonkers, anywhere?
No.
Yeah. I took responsibility for everything, and I'm doing my time.
You're a changed man? Yeah.
So like you mentioned, this woman here, that day, it's April 9th, 1976, her whole life, ever since then, she's 87 now.
Yeah.
Her whole life has been about that day. Mm-hmm. She went on to live a good life. She has children, she's doing well for herself. But her whole life revolves around that one day.
Yes, I understand that.
Like the detective mentioned earlier, she did a sketch that day in the hospital. Mm-hmm. She got shot 5 times. Mm-hmm. She did a sketch that day. And that day, that sketch couldn't have been done any better by an artist that they had you sitting right next to them. And they sketched it.
I saw that. Kind of freaky, yeah.
From that day on, that woman kept that sketch. For years, she, like the detective mentioned, she went back to England. Feared for her life. Didn't want to leave the house for years, affected her children, affected her family, where she wouldn't even let her kids go outside. Comes back to the United States. You had already been arrested. For years, she knew in her mind that you were her assailant that day. Convinced. That's the sketch. That's that sketch up against
and that's
a picture of you.
Yeah. That's the sketch.
Better than convinced so much that she carried it around. She told everyone that would listen that you were her assailant on that day.
Just recently I began to hear this.
So here we are now. Here we are now. Statute of limitations. Way expired. Because if this happened in 1976, it probably would have been expired by 1981. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, you went to prison for your crimes, and then I really commend you for becoming a changed man and to owning up to that. But she is nowhere mentioned in the story.
Right.
Meanwhile, her whole life revolves around that day. And who she believes is herself.
Right, that's
a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah.
When you've gone your whole life and you focus on that one day, and you in your heart know who did this to you, believe you did this to her. And at the end of the day, that person who is not even going to be charged with it, is not going to give her the closure.
Well, if I did that, I would bet you, but I did not. I don't know who that this is, and I noticed that again. The weight. This is a person in their 30s. I don't know, mid 30s or whatever. But 24, 25 or something.
Right.
Yeah, and then also the weight, 160. I was over 200 pounds.
How's that hair look back then?
Oh, it looks like similar, but that's, you know.
Do these look similar to you?
Yeah, somewhat, yeah.
You can see why the detectives made the connection here.
She still has that in her purse.
She's been around since 1976. Yeah. And all she wants to do is to put this to bed, so that whatever she does have left of her life, and I hope she lives another 87 more years, she wants to put this to bed, and she needs closure. And like the detective mentioned, she's very, very religious. And from what I understand, so are you.
Well, yeah, I have my faith in the Lord. Right. I don't wear it on my sleeve, but I try to serve the Lord faithfully, you know. I ask for forgiveness of my sins and crimes and things that, in that dark part of my life, which I terribly regret. Yeah. But I don't know this.
No, and I appreciate that, and I truly believe that when I look into your eyes. However, if there is a possibility and there is a chance that maybe you were there, but you didn't do this, or that there's a part of your life that you cannot remember, or maybe there were other victims that you don't remember. If there is that possibility, we'd like to know. We'd like to put this to bed as well. She would like to put this to bed in her life. She's carried it around since
1970. I understand. No, everything you're saying is perfectly logical and very reasonable and passionate, you know, compassionate. I wish I had my employment records from all the stuff that was gathered out of my property, you know, whatever they found in my apartment.
I understand that, but yeah, like he was saying, if your employment record said you didn't work that day, are you going to say that you did it then?
No, but I'm saying it would have exonerated me.
That's what I'm just saying.
Even if we got them, they wouldn't really change the facts presented today.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? That there is a chance.
There is an uncanny resemblance. Yeah. I obviously admit that. Yeah.
So you truly believe, like on this day, that you remember every incident that occurred, or every time that you.
Not the time frames and things, but I remember.
But do you think you recall every second?
Yes, I would remember that. I would remember that.
Would. Yeah. Whatever happened to the leather jacket, by the way?
I don't remember.
Do you ever remember one?
No, I had an army jacket. I had a ski jacket. But I don't remember ever having a black leather jacket.
Uh-huh.
I honestly don't. I don't remember. Said that or what circumstances he said that. I don't know why we borrow a leather jacket from him.
I mean, leather jacket was pretty cool back then.
Yeah.
Bonds was a big thing, right?
You did live over a garage, right? Like a mountain.
Yeah.
Is there a potential that you just, like they were saying, that you just blank out certain aspects of your life from back then?
I'm sure there probably were. Yeah, I'm probably sure there were. Yeah.
Do you think that could have fell into this?
Go ahead.
I don't. I would remember something like that clearly. Yeah. I would remember something like that clearly.
And you're saying something like that, like an incident that you pull the trigger, or you shot a gun, like that memory is clear to you?
It would be clear. I may forget, like with all these cases, the dates, and the times, and the circumstances,
mm-hmm.
but I would remember them to enough.
See, and I get your point on that. That's why I think we keep going back to that part where you explain crawling back. So potentially, do you just forget?
Yeah, I can't.
Every aspect of what happened to her, but you remember that one of the key things, because maybe no one's ever crawled back before in a situation. No one walked away from the situation.
I don't remember.
And that stuck out to you because that woman did crawl back.
I wish I could remember the circumstances where they said that I said that, who I was talking to at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember ever saying that to anyone.
Do you ever remember a woman sitting in a silver Jaguar, brand new, in a parking lot?
No.
I'll show you the parking lot. Maybe that'll jog your memory. This is the parking lot here. No. One thing that's sort of been bothering me is when we first started going through this stuff and we discussed the cases, you said you only ever used a .44. Why would you think we'd suspect anything different? Why would you think she wouldn't have been shot by a .44?
Well, that was a very rare gun. Wasn't very common. And second of all, the ballistics wouldn't match up. You'd know immediately that was what that weapon was, you know. So I figured the only gun I had was a .44 as far as a handgun. And so she would have been shot with that. I mean, so I don't know what other caliber or whatever that was. That's why I mentioned that. It was very unique. Gun with limited distribution or whatever.
But just for the record, she shot in April and you bought the 44 on June 12th.
Okay. So it would, all right, then that would have been different. Mm-hmm. All right.
Did you ever own a 32 caliber?
No.
Did you ever borrow one from any of your cop friends that use it as an off-duty or anything?
No.
No.
Did you ever own a 22?
I had a 22 caliber rifle in my apartment, as well as a shotgun, 12-gauge shotgun. But not nothing. I wish I could be of more help. I'm trying to think how could...
Well, it's really, like they were mentioning, it's really for her. You know what I mean? You gotta understand that.
I appreciate that. I wish I could.
Unfortunately, she's an older woman. She doesn't have much, well, we hope she does, more to go in her life.
Yeah.
But
would you be offended if we said all four of us believe that you were involved in that? You may not remember it. You may have blanked it out. But
I wouldn't be offended. My life can't get any worse than it is, honestly. But
we were just following facts as well, too. You're sitting here and you're talking to us.
I'm beginning to see some of that.
Yeah.
And first learning of it, but I don't recall.
I mean, uncanny is a good adjective, a way to describe it. I mean, it is. I've never seen as many facts line up in, you know, a pattern of crimes, and then.
Yeah. Okay.
Before purchasing the 44, did you have any other interactions, whether with a friend's gun or automatic guns, anything like that?
No.
You never held a handgun prior to buying the 44?
I had.
Besides being in war or anything like that with the Army?
Well, in the Army, I had the 45 when I was trained. Mm-hmm.
But coming home prior from after military prior to purchasing the 44?
Well, I had a replica handgun.
What kind was that?
It was, I think it was a 38 caliber replica handgun that that actually with us. We went down to Washington, D.C., and it was some kind of patriotic event. And there was a store that sold like replica handguns and little kids. I was, I think, 17 at the time. And so we all bought guns, I believe, two.
Okay.
Yeah.
But you never held?
No.
A handgun prior to purchasing the 44?
No. Other than the replica, yeah.
A replica that day as well?
I believe he did, yeah. I don't know what model it was, but four of us, we stopped at this shop that was offering handguns. I don't even know why we stopped there, but we bought those, which were, I guess, legal.
Yeah.
You know, the barrel was all, you know, sealed up.
Yeah.
And we were just kids then, teenagers.
Yeah.
I was with the auxiliary police, the 45th precinct, getting started with that, and that was interesting. And then I went into the Army, and I finished high school, and then tried to start my life over again when I got out. But I wish we could get to the bottom of this, and I'll be open to take a lie detector test and any kind of anything I could do.
Well, I think in all eyes, I think like he said, we kind of feel like we believe it's you. We're just being honest, and it's nothing offensive,
that.
Right? You know, but we just go by the facts as detectives and the evidence.
Were you ever diagnosed with any sort of, obviously, you were mentally ill when this was happening, right? What were you diagnosed with during that time frame? When did you first start experiencing those feelings?
Probably more after I got out of the Army and started my life again, and I started to get into the Satanic Bible and stuff like that. And I began to lose focus, just trying to find my way. All the friends I had hung out with before going into the service, they like pretty much moved on with their lives. So when I tried to reconnect with them, my father was a firefighter. Other guys, they all just, because when I left the Army, for the Army, I was 18, when I came back, I was 21, and these guys had gone on
to camp. I know exactly what you're describing, because when you left, your life was like a snapshot of like being a late teen, partying, good times.
Yeah, yeah.
And you go away, you come back, and in your mind, it's still going to be like
that.
Yeah,
sure, I saved up a lot of money, and when I was, not a lot, but like maybe $5,000 from being in the service, because I lived in the barracks, which I feel I did pretty good. And then I went to find different jobs. I, you know, joined my dad again in the Bronx, but he was, he got married, he was moving, so I found my own place. I located my birth family. That was a wonderful blessing. Mm-hmm. And just tried to make a life for myself. If things went off course, yeah, regret that.
Do you see the pattern behavior that existed as a result of your mental illness and the way you had a sort of negative emotional response to barking dogs?
Yeah, I guess for some reason that disturbed me. You know, it just triggered something. I don't know why.
I mean, it seemed like it was definitely a trigger just based on the fact.
I was starting to lose sleep. I wasn't getting enough sleep. I was just, life was getting, it was going downhill mentally, you know.
Yeah.
My dad recognized that, and other people tried to steer me, but I wouldn't listen, and I just figured everything was okay, but it wasn't, you know. But as this case, though, I really would like to get to the bottom of it, and I know it's a standstill, but I... Well, all I can suggest is checking some kind of employment records or time-wise, and you're willing to take a lie detector test. I know it's a hassle. I don't know how that goes.
It's not a hassle.
We can definitely look into that if you're willing to do it. Boy, there you
go. Anything for any other questions?
Any questions for us?
No, I'm going to have to let my friend. Let him know he's down now, and to let him know what's going on, because he first told me about this in an email when he saw this program on this podcast.
What did he say exactly?
He said that this was making accusations that was involved in the shooting of a woman in the Bronx, and he mentioned Boston Road, Balk Avenue, and I'm familiar with that area. I just drove through it. I didn't know anybody in that area, but I know that area, and that it was making a connection that I was involved in it. And I said, well, that's news to me.
Yeah.
But that's all I know.
Yeah.
He didn't have any real details, but that's what he said. And now then I get this, and I'm like, wow, this can't be happening.
Well, we really appreciate your time.
Absolutely.
You definitely. You definitely seem like a changed person, and for whatever it's worth, obviously it's impressive.
Well,
transformation.
I mean, I feel like I let you down, but I'm trying to right the ship here, because I know that I wasn't involved in that.
I would definitely feel better if you had recollection of this, or if you obviously voiced your involvement in it. But we want the truth. We don't want to be placated with an answer. Obviously. We have to have integrity in this stuff. So
I agree. That's why I'm saying I'm trying to figure out how I could possibly show you that if I was somewhere else when this happened. You know,
we'll work on it, and maybe if we could work on it and get some records, and we'll stop that.
Yeah, I really wish you would do that somehow. I don't know how. I don't know what job I was doing at that time.
Perhaps we could run your Social Security. Let's look at your taxation.
I would really ask you to please do that. The tax records, all those things, to see what jobs I was having at the time.
Yeah.
And I think that would be a big help. I would like to exonerate myself too. I know it looks terrible looking at this stuff here.
It does look pretty bad.
I would like a chance to just clear my involvement with that.
Sure. We have an obligation to the truth, and if the truth is that you weren't, then we're obligated to that. But obviously, the facts as they are, and the coincidence that, and obviously, all the pattern behavior and all the facts as they are, obviously painted a picture. But that's an investigative opinion, right?
I'd like to know exactly what I was doing at that time frame. I can't say that I know. So
But you'd like to know, just to prove that it wasn't you. Was
right,
it
right, 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 yeah.
Or you'd like to know if you don't
recall. To prove that it wasn't you. I wouldn't know how to do that if there's length of time and the jobs I had. I don't know what's left. You know?
I think your tax records might be helpful. We'll check them out.
All right.
Thanks for talking.
All right. I wish you the best. God bless you. I know it sounds inadequate, but
no.
Thank you very much.
So you're sure that the first shooting, the Lori shooting, that's the first time you ever
shot somebody?
Or even tried to shoot somebody?
Yes.
All right. Thank you.
All right. I'm sorry.
No problem. God bless.
And I wish her the best.
We'll pass that on.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for meeting with us.
All right.